Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 14th in the year of our Lord 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Hope you're all doing fantastic. A quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. We are live 6 days a week. Did you know that? LibertyRoundtable.com. We talked about news the networks refuse to use. Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. It even shocks me how many stories we cover in a single week, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, it took a whole hour plus to review the week's news. Texas rancher gives Donald Trump belt buckle during the border security event. So the ranchers don't hate the Donald like you think. The mainstream press wants you to believe all the ranchers hate the Donald and there's no crisis on the border. That is an absolute lie. And so there you go. A rancher just simply gave Donald his belt buckle, a sign of respect and appreciation, and there you go. Also, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is missing Supreme Court arguments for the second week in a row. That's a tragedy. If she can't do the job, let's get somebody who can. We need to understand that judges have to retire sometimes, folks. And they can't just, you know, we say they're there for life, but that doesn't mean that they're there while they're on life support. And I'm not trying to be rude to Ruth. What I'm saying is send her back to her home, let her recover with her family, and let's move on with the business of governing the United States, the freest, greatest country on the face of the earth. But they don't want Donald to have another pick, do they? Anyway, that's hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live on Saturday. Hour two, we talked about an agency ran by Barack Obama holdovers, reportedly paid staff despite not having money during shutdown. This brings up a gazillion questions. Number one, how did they pay money they didn't have? Oh, because they have big old slush funds everywhere. Secondly, how do we get an agency ran by Obama holdovers, Donald? I thought you were draining the swamp. You have a whole agency ran by Obama holdovers 2 years after you took office? No wonder you're not successful, sir. No offense, but you got to drain that swamp, buddy. You shouldn't have any agencies with Obama holdovers, much less a whole agency ran by Obama holdovers. I mean, what are you thinking, Donald? We also talked about a flashback. The Democrats and the Republicans both built tall fences, to keep protesters out of their 2016 elections. Remember how we had the big old Republican and Democrat national conventions back in 16? Me and Kurt were at the 2016 Republican one. They had all kinds of border securities, layered fences, cops everywhere, checkpoints. You had to, you know, funnel through this place, walk down to the end over here to get in. They had multi-layer security. How come the Democrats and Republicans are fine with those kinds of walls, those kinds of barriers, that kind of security for their conventions, but they don't want that for the country? Anyway, it was a great flashback reality check. Because I'm telling you, it was great security back then, and it was multi-layered, and we just need that for the border. Donald Trump calls situation at Mexico border an invasion after his trip to Texas. We talked about that a little bit. We also talked about the shutdown hits farmers already facing tough times, writes Rick Barrett. The FBI investigated if Donald Trump, advocate? Or if he worked for the Russians, the FBI investigated that. What's weird is they never came back with a report. It tells me that he doesn't work for the Russians, because if he did, they would have come back and said so. The annual convention, Utah Eagle Forum, was underway on Saturday. We'll get to that here in a minute, but it was a great event from what I understand. We also had our report. Donald Trump just hit record approval rating. No president has done this. The Democrats are in panic mode. We'll keep an eye on that, Paul. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place Saturday. It is still available online at your fingertips, free at LibertyRoundtable.com. Without further ado, our guest is with us. We're talking about Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. What is it? RonPaulInstitute.org as well. And Lowell joins us every Monday, first hour on your radio. Hope you had a great weekend, sir. Welcome back.
I sure did, Sam. Thanks for having me on your show. It's always great to be with you.
All right, so you went to the Utah Eagle Forum annual convention in Salt Lake City on Saturday, and man, it was a wonderful time, huh?
It really was, Sam. 15 speakers in, 7-hour period of time. I mean, it was awesome. Most of them got 20, 30 minutes. We had all the way from congressmen to activists to Utah Eagle Forum, members speaking about various topics, even news commentators, talk show hosts. It really was an extravaganza of speakers and of great information.
And I love to hear from the talk show hosts and the newsmakers and the activists and things like that. One of the things that's starting to concern me is whenever we go to events, though, we want to hear from bureaucrats and politicians. And frankly, I'm done hearing from them. You know what? They all say the right things when they talk to us, but yet they don't go and do. And they kind of sweep in like rock stars, give their speech, and then bail. I've seen this too many times from too many of these politicians.
Well, you're exactly right. That's what happened Saturday, too, Sam, as well. In fact, not only the congressman who spoke to us that took off soon after their speeches, except for Mike Lee, all of them talked about the problems with the swamp, but none of them really talked about the real solution to the problems in the swamp, although John Curtis did allude to the right solution when he encouraged us to turn our attention toward local, government. He said the best tax dollars spent are those that are spent locally with your city government, and he is spot on that, Sam. He said a few of the right things. All of them, I guess, said the right things. He was the only one that broached the real solution. Although, Mike Lee, he attended by video. He was still back in the swamp, unfortunately, unable to attend in person, but he presented a video. He talked to us by video and gave an excellent, summary of some of the problems back there. And then what he was doing about those problems. And, he has bipartisan support, for example, to unauthorize the bad sections of the NDAA, which allows government to detain U.S. citizens indefinitely on U.S. soil. So he's got bipartisan support to unauthorize that. Number two, he mentioned three things that I took note of. Anyway, number two, regarding civil liberty against, the government capture of all your phone calls, all your emails, your social media comments and stuff, he has bipartisan support to roll that back too, hoping to, what he, in his words, create another oasis of liberty in the wasteland of tyranny. Very eloquently put, I think. And also, number three, he said that while we must defend our country, we must not support the war in Yemen, which is exactly what we've been saying here for months. He helped to pass the War Power Resolution, which is probably the first in decades, a resolution to end U.S. support of that war in Yemen. He also applauded Trump's announcement about leaving Syria. And so there's a congressman who's really doing the right things. He doesn't just talk. He actually walks the talk. And
when we talk about a congressman, in this case it's a senator, right?
That's right. But a senator is a congressman. This is one of the things that people don't realize.
I understand. I just want people to know he's in the Senate. But your point's well taken.
Yeah. Okay, excellent.
Because if you're in the House or you're in the Senate, the point is you're all in Congress, folks. Just get used to saying congressman when we meet House of Representative guy. We don't realize that they're all congressmen because they all work in Congress. Even the women are congressmen. They would want you to say congressperson, but I'm just here to tell you, they're all in Congress, right?
That's right. So Senator Mike Lee is one of the bright spots in Congress back in Washington, D.C., while many of the other representatives talked about and complained of the swamp and didn't really put forth any solutions. They just wanted to complain about it. And, I find that disheartening. I was looking for... I knew I wouldn't get it, but I was looking and hoping for them to mention the real solution, which, in my opinion, is for the states and local authorities to erect the barriers against the encroachment on our liberties by the central authority. That is basically what
Yeah, and I appreciate that, but until you get the states off the dole of the unconstitutional federal government fiat system, Lowell, you're never going to have them take a real stand and erect any real barriers. You're just not going to see it happen.
Because they pull the chain. You know, they will not give to the states the monies that are supposed to go to those states if the states don't dance the dance that is being orchestrated by Washington, D.C. You're exactly right.
And you really pointed out to this idea, and we'll get into this a little later in the broadcast with Chris Ann's message as well. But the bottom line is the states created the federal government. The states have no business taking any money from the federal government at all, except for to carry out legitimate delegated constitutional responsibilities of the federal government that the states, because they have local access, could carry out on behalf of. There is a little bit of legitimacy there, but not much.
Right. And because the states accept so much money from the federal government, in the case of Utah, for example, about a third of our $16 billion budget comes from the feds for one reason or another. And it would be political suicide for Utah not to accept that money. Well, for the Utah politicians, political suicide for the Utah politicians, for them not to accept that money back from the feds, Sam.
You got to dig freedom, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Utah Annual Eagle Forum. Incredible stuff, about 15 speakers. When we get back, Lowell's finishing up on Mike Lee. He said the central government has claimed outlandish authority. Boy, howdy, is that true. We got to scale it back, nullify now the separations of powers. Good for Mike Lee. Hang tight, folks.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, patriots gather in the Olympic State of Utah for the Eagle Forum annual convention. Incredible stuff. 15-plus speakers. Mike Lee doing a phenomenal job via video. Mike Lee is far from perfect, folks, but he's doing a great job. Every time I turn around, he's not a fanfare guy. He's not a, you know, I'm the king of Twitter guy. He's pretty quiet and pretty humble, but yet he gets a lot done. There's some things that he does that I don't agree with, but most of what he does I completely agree with. Did he at all refer to Mitt Romney joining him and what that can mean? Is he going to have to hold down Mike Lee and, you know, waterboard him or something? What's he going to have to do? I'm just kidding about the waterboarding. I'm just joking. But when we talk about this NDAA abuse stuff, that's what it's kind of like. The whole country is being waterboarded by these Gestapo tactics, suggesting that somehow every American's an enemy. And that's the problem that the federal government does, is they just take too much power and almost lay siege to every principle that matters most and to every person that threatens their tyranny. And we got to roll back the federal government to its proper limited role. In that role, we support the federal government completely. Out of that role, folks, it's rogue. And that's the point. Did he mention Mike Lee at all, Lowell? Did Mike Lee mention
Mitt Romney?
Oh, no. Yeah, he did not mention Mitt. I don't think anybody mentioned Mitt at the thing there Saturday, Sam.
Senator incognito.
What I think happening there is I think Mitt is angling toward a run for the presidency in 2020, and one of the ways politicians do that is they need FaceTime, and they get FaceTime simply by casting stones at the guy who's at the top of the pack, top of the heap. And so, you know, Trump's obviously at the top of the heap. He is surprising everybody because his popularity is still strong, and he makes the neocons mad. He makes them angry. And so what better way to get FaceTime than to throw stones at the guy at the top? And so that's what Mitt did. And voila, lo and behold, he's been on, you know, Face the Nation, on Meet the Press, on all of these, you know, television shows and radio programs, talking to the people who are asking him about his vicious comments, why criticize the president? You're the same party. I mean, he's just brewing up a storm, and he's getting a lot of FaceTime out of it, Sam.
Well, the Democrats love to help and watch and foment that divide. And the problem is that Mitt fell for the trap is the problem. What he needs to do is literally just stand kind of like a Mike Lee and advocate for what's right and work hard and get it done and oppose what you can and use your influence in meaningful ways, not bombastic ways, etc. Anyway, good for Mike Lee. Let's get to the rest of the 15 speakers, though. A lot of them said some good things. I'm not too interested in what the representatives and the elected officials said, except for Mike Lee. But I am interested big time in what the speakers had to say, meaning the talk show hosts and the newsmakers and the activists. I mean, they were tremendous.
Yeah, they really were, Sam. First talk show host, of course, was Joe Carey. Joe is a fun fellow to talk with. He's got his Eastern accent. I think he's born and raised in Philadelphia. Anyway, he's really an interesting speaker. And you know what he talked about? Out of the blue, he didn't talk about politics. He talked about Elijah, the prophet of the Old Testament, Sam. I mean, and how he got into it was very interesting. He told a story of sitting on a plane with a man who asked him, "What do you know about Elijah?" You know, if you were sitting on a plane and somebody asked you, "What do you know about Elijah?" You know, how would you respond? And so, and Joe Carey was humbled to say, you know, he didn't know the whole story about Elijah, but he studied up. He did what a good scriptorian should do, and that's dig in and learn about Elijah the prophet. And I have to say, Sam, I was in the same boat. When he said the word Elijah, I thought back, now, what in the world do I know about Elijah? Well, Joe reminded me what I know about Elijah. He was a prophet of God, had no fear. I mean, he confronted King Ahab, Sam, who was the worst, the most evil king ever.
Yeah, let me tell you what I like about Joe's speech here. I think Joe brought, in my opinion, some of the best content to the conference of anybody. And I'm going to tell you why. His speech is very full of symbolism and very full of what solutions are on the table. You got to read into a little bit about what he's saying to understand it. But again, that's, you know, a little bit how the Savior teaches in parabolistic reality, too. Joe's basically saying, look, God's in his heaven, and there is no power greater than God. And if we want to fix this republic, we better trust in our God like the prophet of old did. We better double down in defense of God and trust in our God and act and behave like that. And we need to challenge the false gods of assumption, of transgender manipulation, of drugs are going to solve our problems. All we got to do is pass marijuana laws. We'll be good. The world will be great. Whatever the missteps are, you know, we're continually learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And when you bring back this Elijah reality check, you simply put God in his heaven and understand that he's in charge of our liberty. And it's going to be trust and allegiance to, which is what Elijah had, that's the order of the day. That's really going to move the needle to liberty. And frankly, unless we get that horse hooked up to the buggy, hey, we ain't going nowhere, folks, except the wrong way. And I think Joe nailed it, if you want my humble opinion.
Well, I love the way you connected the dots there, Sam. Fantastic insight. I did not realize that, you know, and wouldn't have been able to explicate that quite the way you did. But
I'm telling you, Joe hit it out of the park, folks. He really did. And I know it seems non-political. It's like, oh, Elijah, we know that story. Move along. No. Joe nailed it. Joe got it right. And I'm telling you, you missed this piece and you missed the whole boat, folks.
Well, and you've been telling us that for years, Sam, and that is, you know, to make America great again, we have to become good again as a people. We need to humble ourselves before our Maker, before our Creator, before divine providence. We need to be humble enough to follow the whisperings of the Spirit in our own lives. That's what's going to make America great again. If the people become good in their hearts, and we can't become good, you know, while we're committing, you know, sins, when we're being dishonest, when we're stealing from our neighbors, when we are trafficking children, you know, and we'll get to that in a bit. But I mean, all of the reasons, all of the problems that we have, Sam, come because we have turned our backs on our God in this land. And that's why we are suffering, you know, the problems that we suffer right now, Sam. And you're exactly right. I mean, we need to be like Elijah. You know, when the priests of Baal, they couldn't call down any power from their God to consume their sacrifice. But boy, Elijah, he called upon the powers of heaven and called down fire from heaven, which literally consumed his water-drenched sacrifice. Not only that, but consumed the 400 priests of Baal who failed to get their sacrifice burnt. So, I mean, he was amazing. Elijah was truly amazing. And heaven sent a chariot to pick him up when he left this earth, you know. So talk about a wonderful, wonderful a prophet. And you're spot on. We need to be like Elijah. We need to turn to God if we expect the blessings of heaven on this land. So
let me tell you the other thing that Joe did by highlighting Elijah that's really important that I don't think people understand or get. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you got to dig and think about Joe's message to really get it. And that's this. Elijah was the perfect balance between bold but not overbearing. Okay? I mean, he was in your face bold for his God. But yet he wasn't belligerent and he wasn't overwhelming and he wasn't okay, he let them go first. He encouraged them to you know, highlight their case. In other words, let them just trot out. He almost gave them enough rope to hang themselves. pardon the phrase. But he stood for his God, but at the whole same time he was respectful and humble, and he did everything he could to get them out of harm's way also, right?
Right. I love that. And you know, Chris Stewart reminded us of Mother Teresa, and I really like what Mother Teresa said in response to a question. She got a question from a reporter one time, and maybe this isn't a one-time thing. She probably got this question a lot, but this reporter was observing that you know she hadn't changed the world despite her life work. She hadn't really changed the world, and you know what her reply was, Sam? She said, "I was not called to be successful. I was called to be faithful." And I think that's what we need to do as well, Sam, especially at the times when we might be feeling that our efforts are not making an impact or not having an impact. Let's remember that we're called to be faithful regardless of the consequences. And I think Elijah would have agreed with that. We're called to be faithful to our God regardless of the consequences, whether other people think we succeed or fail. We are called to be faithful, Sam.
Yes, we are. And Elijah was without a doubt faithful. And the other thing Elijah did is he didn't know exactly what would happen, I don't think. I mean, I think he trusted in his God and he knew God would have his back. But the same thing comes to when we come to win in wars or when we want to have national defense or all these problems we face. I'm telling you, it's God, family, and country. For a reason. Lowell Nelson in seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. I don't want to spend forever on this, but man, it's just so good. It's hard to not give it time. So Joe Kerry's speech at the Utah Annual Eagle Forum was tremendous. And I want to kind of really highlight this. Joe Kerry's speech about Elijah, I believe, is absolutely spot on. And the other thing that this has a lot to do with, the whole Elijah story really is a story of repentance, a story of coming back to God, a story of understanding, hey, he's in his heavens and he's aware of us and he will fight our battles. Lol.
Absolutely right, Sam. Talking about some of the battles that we must fight, you know, obviously we have to do everything we can. And that we're inspired to do, we need to make God's cause our cause. We need to do in our, you know, make our efforts. We need to bring to pass the sentiment of heaven on this earth. That's what we need to do. And if we'll do that, turning to God and following His lead on things, then He will fight our battles for us. And some of these battles were brought to light by some of the speakers, and here, for example, Kelly Federick talked about pro-life, about how being pro-life is really being pro-women, and she brought to light great information about pro-life activities, Sam, mentioned that Cheryl Acton is going to introduce a bill this year at the Utah legislature that bans abortion after the first trimester. She gave us scientific information about how abortions during the second and third trimesters become increasingly painful to both mother and baby, and obviously dangerous to the mother and fatal, of course, to the baby. Danny Palmer talked about gender change legislation, how that it violates privacy. And then she gave us statistics showing how sexual harassment complaints occur like two-thirds more of the time and 90% more of the time in mixed-sex facilities such as changing rooms and showers and bathrooms. Protecting the feelings of a minuscule minority, how that seems to trump the feelings of a majority of women is just not right. She talked about that, did a wonderful job. Kristen Chevrier reminded us about Colton Barrett, who died 1 year ago because of the HPV vaccine. And she called on activists everywhere to make sure that we not mandate vaccination, because where there is risk, there must be choice. Stan Ellsworth from the American Ride was there, Sam. He is so much fun to listen to. I talked to him, one-on-one for a few minutes before he spoke. He is a ton of fun. He's got a personality like you wouldn't believe. But he talked about the founders, how they're being maligned today. He spoke of Independence Hall as sacred ground, Sam, and he brought this out in his speech about how we must turn toward God. In fact, Sam, he quoted, he quoted George Washington, who said that anyone who cannot see the hand of Providence in the colonials' efforts to free themselves from King George is blind. I mean, he's very blunt. he said that we really have to teach our children, help them understand history, study history, and he's the one who says we need to support the sentiment of heaven in our efforts here on earth. Tim Ballard talked about Operation Underground Railroad, rescuing children who have been kidnapped and forced into sex slavery. He reminded us, Sam, that the United States is the biggest consumer of sex slavery. We generate the biggest demand right here in the United States, Sam, which is one of the reasons why, we can't expect the blessings of heaven on this country when we have this kind of corruption going on among our own people here. But anyway, because the U.S. is the biggest consumer of sex traffic, that's really why his organization has been so successful in...
And believe it or not, I hope you address the border, because that's one of the biggest reasons with the drug cartels and the sex trafficking and the slavery worldwide movement. That's really the biggest reasons we can't shut down the border.
Exactly right, Sam. He did give that reason. He said every year about 10,000 children are brought north into the United States across that Mexican border and distributed to a variety of sex slave rings around the state.
Now, let me stop you there, and I call that a crisis.
Well, it is a crisis. It's certainly
all right. Now, some of the speakers, though, said, hey, we ought to not let Donald declare it a crisis, huh?
Well, they're afraid that if he declares a national emergency for this reason, then other presidents following this precedent will do the same thing and declare a national emergency over maybe, mundane things like climate change or on, gun control, mass shootings in schools. And these might also be declared national emergencies.
And I get that concern, but at the same time, then you would never declare a national emergency, right?
If you claim that the border is like a national invasion, then the federal government has a role there to protect the states. And national defense is one of their sacred roles. They need to be doing that, and they're not doing that.
Yeah, my point on this is that we cannot, on the altar of making sure that nothing ever happens, never use the proper authority. This is an emergency. If you have 10,000 children and women being brought across our border for sex abuse, I'm telling you right now, that's got to stop. We've got to stop abortion, and we've got to stop sex trafficking and slavery. If we have a prayer for our God, to protect and defend us. And I'm telling you right now, do you think Elijah would call it a spade a spade? We better call it a spade and not back away, folks. And I get that a president might use this wrongly. We got to stop them when they do. But that shouldn't prevent us from using it properly either. I say it's a national emergency when a drug cartel controls both sides of the border. And I have had Stuart Rhodes broadcasting live as my guest from Oath Keepers, literally on the border. And he says, look, I'm telling you right now, the 2,000-mile long border with Mexico, besides a couple of checkpoints that the government's involved in, is pretty much controlled by the drug cartels and the sex and drug traffickers.
I think Washington would agree with you, Sam. He is the one who said this. He said, the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. Tim Ballard quoted that during his presentation.
Well, and good for Tim. He's spot on.
Yeah, absolutely right. And then Clay Olson discussed the dangers of the new drug, meaning pornography. He said that pornography nowadays is much more violent than it was when we were kids, you know, talking about the older generation like you and me. You know, where we considered nudity pornographic, today it's filled with violence, Sam, apparently. Violence directed primarily at women. He said that the porn industry and the sex trafficking industry are not separate, different industries. They are one and the same industry, which, you know, that I'd never considered that thought before, but thinking about it now, they probably really are. And porn is available, readily available, Sam, to young people on their phones via the internet, of course. And so he called on us to do everything we can in our families, in our own homes and families, to defend our children and grandchildren from this new drug called pornography. And then went on to show how studies, science is showing the damaging effects of pornography and other addictions on the brain and on the body and on society. They even have a website called brainheartworld.org. That website, again, is brainheartworld.org. And it's chock full of resources, Sam, for people to understand the debilitating dangers of pornography.
Not only to understand, but the tools to fight against, right?
Right, exactly. It's all there. And Scott Bradley, very popular.
Now, by the way, I want to talk about Scott, but he's our guest next hour.
Oh, cool.
He joins us every Monday after you.
That is so awesome.
So anyway, the bottom line is he gave a great speech, though, saying, look, we got to be careful that we don't let this turn into a con-con. And we've got to be very careful not to let this new trade agreement sound like the solution to everything when it's really a continuation of circumventing our sovereignty, right?
Exactly right, Sam. And it sounds to me like you may be talking about that in the next hour, so we don't need to delve into that right here.
But he did speak and did a tremendous job, let's be clear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I love the way he talked about an email conversation. I will mention him. He had an email conversation with Ken Ivory, who's been a huge proponent of the ConCon here in Utah. And he used this email conversation back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to illuminate the principles underlying the Constitution and why a ConCon would be devastating to our freedoms here in this country. So,
by the way, was Ken Ivory in attendance?
No, he wasn't there. There were four legislators there in the morning. I sat at their table. Only one of the four stayed through the whole day.
Who stayed?
And so, Kay.
Well, I commend that politician for staying. The rest disappoint me, though, when they don't spend time with the people. Remember, they work for us, ladies and gentlemen.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Man, I don't know what to do with all the content Lil Nelson brings to the table. CampaignForLiberty.org. And, man, we got to really highlight this Gail Ruzicka speech real quick. She warned us about our children. Lil, we cannot leave this out. I know we're running out of time.
Well, it's worth mentioning, Sam. She talked about THC syrups, and this is a byproduct of the cannabis plant. THC is what produces the hallucinatory effect of cannabis. And she said that children, our school children today, are mixing THC syrups in their soda pop school, carrying this stuff around in their backpacks and sipping on it. She really warned us we need to help protect our children, our grandchildren against this type of activity. I mean, it can be damaging to the brains and development, the abilities of our children to judge issues as they grow up, and it can just be debilitating. We need to be aware of that. She also mentioned the initiative process. She says we got here because 70,000 people came out and voted for the initiative. That's the only thing they voted for. They just came and voted for the legalization of medical cannabis in the state of Utah, and for no other reason. The only reason they voted was simply for that. And so because of that, she thinks we need to repair or reform the initiative process.
And I agree with her completely, but this just shows when people tell me we can't move the needle for liberty, they're wrong. We can. This is absolute positive proof. When the enemies of freedom want to promote whatever they want to do, they put their money where their mouth is, their time, their votes. If enough of us constitutional Americans, enough of us Christian Americans, enough of us moral Americans put our money and our time and our efforts and our votes where our mouth is, we could change the game in 5 seconds. We could shut down the abortion industry completely. We could lock down our border and shut down the criminal activity with the slave trade and the sex trafficking trade. But you got to have enough people get involved. And when it comes to liberty, buddy, it's an empty room. Not 100%, but virtually speaking, compared to the other side.
Great point, Sam. And the one thing that I find encouraging is that 20 years ago, when I go to these types of meetings, I knew almost everybody there. But today, when I go to these types of meetings, I don't know most people who are there. And that just goes to tell me that more and more people are getting involved. And so I find that very encouraging, because more people are getting involved now than ever before. I think more people have become alarmed now than ever before because of the rise of evil around us, Sam.
And our numbers are always going to be small. The kingdom of God on the earth, comparatively speaking, is pretty small. But you know what? We got Elijah on our side, and we got Elijah's God on our side. And let's never lose sight of that. That gives me tremendous hope and tremendous courage as well. All right, Chris Ann Hall, any other quick speakers to mention?
Just one last one. Because of your mention about numbers, Phil Wright, who talked about the importance of the caucus convention system, ended his talk with a reference to Elisha the prophet, not Elijah, but Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah's the guy that called down fire. Elisha's the guy that said, hey, man, you'll continually have food if you feed me, ma'am.
That's right. because it was Elisha who said, he said he prayed to heaven to open the eyes of his colleague there so that he could see the many, many angels who were there to help fight Israel's battle for them. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them, is what he said. Elijah
was the food guy too, Sam, though.
Oh, was he?
But all Elisha right. was the follow-up to Elijah. And you can remember that because the J comes before the S, you know.
That helps me remember the food, which one. I get it. All right.
No, J, yeah.
Now what? The
way you can remember the Elijah was the food guy too was the birds
fed. The Bible, Kurt. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying in the order, it helps you with the Elijah, Elisha
thing.
Yeah,
so the order in the Bible matches the alphabet.
Yeah, the J is before the S.
In the Bible, stories as well as the alphabet. The food part, it won't help you, folks. And that's
where
I got mixed up.
One way you can remember the food part is Elijah got fed by the ravens and he got fed by the lady. So, you know, that's...
And poor Elisha.
That's how I remember that.
All right, just kidding. He didn't. A good point, though. Appreciate that, Kurt. So Elisha is the guy who literally said, hey, these are the greater numbers with us, and we got the angels on our side. And believe it or not, that matches very well with George Washington's vision, right? That we win in the end because the angels help us.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. Now, was Elisha, Kurt, was Elisha also the prophet who was asked to put together an army, and he whittled it down from like 10,000 down to 300?
I'm going to have to double check on that.
The way you remember that is the less the number, you know, it goes backwards from the alphabet that goes forward. See what I mean? That helps guys like me know. You know what I mean?
Sure.
All right. Anyway, but I want to move before we run out of time because we meant to get to this last week, and now we need to get to it this week. Chris Ann Hall writes an article called An Oligarchy of Thieves, Federal Supremacists. Chris Ann Hall, it's a tremendous piece, Lowell.
It really is, Sam. Beginning with these words, our government has been infected by federal supremacists. She began, they commonly assert that the Supreme Court has the power to ultimately interpret the Constitution through judicial review and therefore sovereignly determine the limits of the power delegated to the federal government. And she goes on with her quote, but basically what she's saying, folks, is that the Supreme Court can set its own limits, meaning the central government can set its own limits of power. And of course, she says this is ludicrous for to assume that the founders granted to the fox in the hen house the power to determine how far he can go, and, you know, the extent of his own authority. Right? I mean, that's ludicrous to think that they thought that. She says. The Supreme Court does not have the authority to limit or expand the power of government. Neither does Congress have the authority to pass a law that is contrary to or beyond the limited and defined boundaries of the Constitution itself. To allow such action means that the Constitution has no meaning and the government has no limit. You know, and so, I mean, she puts it in black and white, talking about Elijah the prophet, putting it in spades. I really like the way Chris Ann Hall puts in spades, you know, these statements about power. And she's saying, Sam, that the Constitution did not grant to the central government the authority to expand its power beyond the limits set forth by the states which created the central government. So I think that's an important point to make because people nowadays think that, boy, you appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States and whatever they say goes and they can rule in all kinds of issues, domestic issues as well as national issues, and it's just sad that they do that. But he brought out five simple facts, Sam, that we really must teach ourselves, and that we must teach our state representatives, so that they can truly honor their oath to support and defend the Constitution. And fact number one, we've said it here many, many times, but we'll say it again: is the general government has only those powers enumerated in the Constitution. In fact, in the report of 1800, which I recommend, I began reading that, and I was enthralled in reading this report.
Amen. And by the way, she makes the point that if they can do anything they want, why is there a list?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. James Madison wrote that the powers of the federal government, as resulting from the compact to which the states are party, right? I mean, in other words, yeah, basically the states are the ones who empowered the central government, And the Fed, the general government, has only the powers that are enumerated in the Constitution. So now, fact number two she brings out, the federal government does not have the authority to determine its limits, since it is not a party to the compact, but a creation of the compact. And fact number three, she says, and there's just five facts she brings out, so this is three of five. Number three, the Supreme Court is part of the federal government. It's not over the federal government. It possesses no power greater than the executive or the legislative branches, and certainly not greater than the authority of its creators, the state. Wow, Sam, that is amazing. That particular fact right there is amazing, because that contravenes pretty much everybody's current notion of what the Supreme Court is. Everybody thinks that it has the final say on everything, whether it's a state issue or a national issue. They think that the Supreme Court rules over everybody, but that's not the case. It is not over the federal government, and it's certainly not greater than the authority of its creators, the state. Fact number four, to allow the federal government, meaning the Supreme Court of the United States, to determine its own limits is contrary to the Constitution, contrary to the principles of a republic, contrary to the limited and defined nature of our government. And finally, fact number five, the federal government cannot write laws that are contrary to the Constitution, right? I mean, that's very evident to you and me, but they do it all the time. 90% of every law they pass is contrary to the Constitution. And it was Alexander Hamilton who wrote that there is no position which depends on clearer principles than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. End of quote there. So, I mean, he is spot on, even though Alexander Hamilton was a centrist and so forth, a federalist. But, I mean, he's talking spot on in that particular statement about the authority of the federal government. And so in light of these facts, Sam, it really is impossible to accept the notion that states are merely political subdivisions of the general government. No way. States are parties to the contract. States created the general government, and it, meaning the general government, really serves at their pleasure, serves at the pleasure of the several states. Sam?
What a tremendous article. What a tremendous understanding. Oligarchy of thieves, federal supremacists. And, you know, they want to talk about white supremacists all day, but they act like the federal supremacy is just normal. It's a lie. There's a separation of powers. It upends the intent of the founders. And we need to understand that the general government has only those powers enumerated in the Constitution. There's no way the courts can be more powerful than anything else. There's no authority. The federal government cannot write laws. And I would add to her statement, cannot write and or embrace laws. Because when we have treaties, we act like they somehow supersede the Constitution. They don't. All right. In light of these. Go ahead.
And I would add to that the regulations that are promulgated by the various bureaucracies.
Amen. And that's part of the problem is the bureaucracies write half the laws, which they have no authority to do whatsoever. They're, again, taking congressional responsibility unto themselves. Kurt, you wanted to speak?
By the way, your answer is Elisha was the those that be with us are greater, you know, et cetera. That was the man.
So is he the guy where they whittle down by letting people drink water and decide how they drink?
Yeah.
And, hey, get it thinner, thinner. In other words, the whole point is we don't need to worry about how big our numbers are. God's got a handle, folks. That's the bottom line you got to understand. Don't worry about our numbers. Trust in God, and he'll do our best, and he'll do the rest. The federal government can, or let's see, in light of these facts, Chris Ann Hall finishes, it is impossible to accept the notion that states are merely political subdivisions of the general government. No, states are parties to the contract, and they created the federal government, and the creation shall never be greater and or equal to the creator. Thank you very much, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam.
Wow. The guy just does a tremendous job. Kurt, I'm telling you right now, his research is stellar. His commentary is delightful, educational. I'm just telling you right now, I'm grateful for him being part of the Liberty Roundtable Live team. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure.